Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about, yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. It's hard to get a sense of time right now. We just went through the Memorial Day holiday. We're into the month of June. Normally, I'm excited we move into summer.
If they keep telling us to stay home, will it be more difficult to stay home now that the weather is nicer?
It's been my prediction that the weather is a big driver of this. I live near a parkway in Wauwatosa, and you saw on the days when it was nice out, even those who generally would be, because I know them, would be kind of strict on things, were out and out and about. And so I think, you know, people just want to get out and, yeah, return to some sense of normalcy, and weather drives that. I agree.
My other comment about the weather is that I'm totally used to Wisconsin winters. I have no problem. I love it. I love hiking on the snow. That's fantastic. What I don't get used to is that a week ago we were cold.
Right.
And now we are humid and hot right away. And that's much more difficult for me to handle than in Spain when I was growing up. The seasons are very clear, and there is a spring and a fall that's long enough to get used to it. Here it's like... there is no transition.
Yeah, we talk about four seasons here. The reality is, if you're really honest, as you grow up around here, there's no such thing as spring. I mean, it really is. It's kind of winter and then summer. And I think we still have a fall.
Excellent.
So this is now the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. That's going to be the Sunday we're celebrating here coming up. And why don't I read the gospel, and then we'll talk a little bit about this in the liturgical year.
And we are taking the gospel from John's gospel, which is the gospel we normally take for big celebrations. John's gospel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
So, Philip, a question for you. In your past life, before you were a canonist, which is the right science, you were a systematic theologian.
No, because you're giving me some brilliance that I don't have.
Anyway, I have a question. We have three weekends. We celebrated Pentecost last week, and we are celebrating the Holy Trinity this week. And next week we are celebrating Corpus Christi. So we have the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, God the Son next weekend, next Sunday. So is it the Holy Trinity today because of this connection between these three Sundays? And should then be reflecting more about God the Father this weekend? You know what I mean?
That's a really good question. And I think it's more of a liturgical question. and I don't know all the history, but around this time of year, after the Easter season and Pentecost, the liturgical calendars look different throughout history. Mm-hmm. I think even in the 20th century, in early parts of the 20th century, it looked different. So your question, though, is there a logic to the Holy Spirit and then a focus, in a sense, in God the Father and the Gospel on Trinity Sunday, mm-hmm. and then God the Son on Corpus Christi Sunday? It's really interesting to think about. I've never quite thought of it that way, and I think it's really interesting. That may be an original theological thought from you.
Maybe. and a great gospel. I always like this gospel. Something that I find very, very interesting, that God didn't come to the world to condemn the world. And how many times we've reflected about the image we have of God will shape the way we live our faith. And how many people have lived for many years with this image of God as a judge, and God judges, right? But you know what I mean, trying to make sure that we don't do anything wrong. And that would be a very sad image, and here we have it. God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to give it meaning, purpose, life.
Yeah, and I go back to maybe the larger purpose of this feast and the connection to this gospel as well, in that God's presence to us can seem challenging at times in the sense of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we need to remember as well, with that as well, no, he's here out of love. His Son is sent into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save us, to be here for us. But the same thing, and kind of the way that God reveals himself in the Trinity, it's not to give us headaches, it's not to put us through theological, complex Oops. Theological exercises, but rather out of love. And that really goes to the heart, of course, of the Trinity, as we understand the Trinity. It's just that the power of the love of God is so incredible, that's lived out in these three persons, one God in three persons.
One thing that we've done sometimes, you know, that we joked about the etymological corner for some of the podcasts, and then I tell you one of my, I'm a nerd of words, that the word belief, if I remember correctly, is very similar in Latin and in Greek to the word trust. Mm-hmm. And for me, how to find a way to say, the gospel tells us that you have to believe in Jesus to be saved, but I don't think it refers to just an intellectual statement. It means to trust Jesus' teaching in such a way that then we act the way Jesus would. And then something that other faith denominations, do you believe in Jesus? That's all it takes. For us, then it becomes much more challenging, because it's not just trusting an intellectual thing. It's really living it out, which is when things become exciting and difficult.
Right. I agree. I couldn't say it better than myself. You know, if we look at a lot of our, even some ethical issues, but even just our relationship with God, it always comes down to trust. You know, our struggles are when we don't trust, which is often, sadly. And the most amazing things happen when we really do trust in God's presence. So I like your emphasis there on believe and trust, the similarity in those words.
And then whoever doesn't believe, if you don't live life the way Jesus did, then you are condemning yourself. That's actually how I take this very tough sentence in today's gospel. So for me, again, it's not, you may be born in a place in the world where you don't know Jesus, you don't know anything about the gospel. How is salvation impossible for that person? No, because that person can live the way that Jesus taught. And I believe that's an acceptable thinking. Karl Rahner, a very famous theologian, I think he died in 1984 or something like this, and he was a professor in Innsbruck, Austria. He used to speak about the anonymous Christians, so people who wouldn't know Jesus but would live life in such a way that they would be Christians without knowing it. Mm-hmm. So somebody said, maybe that's not very politically correct. Would then you, a Christian, be an anonymous Muslim? And he said, maybe yes. So he was a very wise man. So yeah, I'm interested about this salvation and condemnation, and how does this work. For me, not intellectual statements, really people who embrace a way of life, not the way of Jesus.
What I'm interested in is what always comes up on this particular solemnity, and really as we deal with kind of the difficult truths of God, is to remember that this is how the first Christians experienced God. Mm-hmm. Again, we didn't sort of sit down and put down a mathematical equation to make things difficult, but rather this is how they experienced God. And I think it's always an interesting time to go back to the very kind of first Christians, those first experiencing God, and then the connection to us. So why are we so different? And I'm thinking a lot about that trust and belief. You know, is mm-hmm. it just that we as human beings have been so hurt when we've trusted and been hurt that it's hard for us to do that with God, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to trust, and I think that comes up often. How often in life have we been hurt when we've trusted? You know, whether that be in marriages or in friendships or as children sometimes. And I think sometimes that's the real issue with trusting God. We can't appreciate that, no, there's someone who will not hurt us. You know, there's mm-hmm. a God who will not hurt us, and even when we're vulnerable. I'm just thinking a lot about that right now.
I'm thinking also about these feasts that are solemnities. A pattern that I have used in preaching before is that they are a celebration of a dogma, but at the same time, a call to action. And I think today we are called to be like the Trinity, right? It's Holy Trinity Sunday. How are we dimensional like God? How are we active? And there is this communication, the Son speaking about the Father and about the Holy Spirit. This dialogue, it's the revelation of God, as you say, that the first Christians experience God in a very specific way. How do we live that out in our own lives? That's a challenge and something I believe would be a good homily.
Right. So I've got a lot of prayer and a lot of thoughts to still put into this for this weekend, but I that's a positive. I feel positive about that, and it's there's something exciting about this relationship with God, and just to kind of take that right approach for this weekend is going to be a challenge and an enjoyable one, hopefully.
And then next week, as we said before, we celebrate Corpus Christi. So it's this third and last big feast, big solemnity that we celebrate before we go into ordinary time.
In a very human way, I love this time of year because we enter here ordinary time. And then when we get out of ordinary time in Advent, mm-hmm. so this takes you all the way through the summer. And that's what I think about time right now, it's a little bit off. But normally, this is a nice little launching point when we come upon these solemnities and say, all right, kind of warm days of summer and here until we get to fall into winter.
We are reflecting on these very eternal truths at a moment where everything has been changing and life has changed so much lately. It's also interesting to reflect about these profound and changeable truths when our lives, normal lives, have been shaken to its foundation. So it's an interesting contrast also how we faith becomes like a baseline, like a foundation for all of us, I believe.
I think that's an excellent thought. I think it's good to end.
You never say that. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. I think it's good to end with. End on a high note.
I'm thankful that you liked it. Excellent. So we'll meet next week, Philip?
Yeah, why don't we meet next week? I think that'd be good.
Very good. Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.